I'm Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I guess we should pity the man in this world who must use the earth for a bed. And I guess we should pity the man who must toil from dawn till dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment, sharing God's salvation plan. But if you know any who, though they have plenty, are lost, then pity the man.
Pity the man who has treasures to hold and owns not the pearl of great price.
Since I've been a Christian, I've been preaching on assurance of salvation. Can a child of God lose his salvation once he's been born again by the Spirit of God? Today we have many naysayers when we talk to different people,
especially on YouTube, you can find people who will bring much doubt on assurance of salvation. And they will find scripture that seem to point to that fact. But in all cases, those scriptures are taken out of context. You have to study the Word of God on the heart of Jesus. You have to understand the parable of the lost sheep whom Jesus went out to find, the good shepherd went out to find. You have to understand the story of the prodigal son. On and on Jesus goes, the Lord God goes on telling us how we can be assured. The Apostle Paul teaches about being sealed unto the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul talks about him being confident that he which has begun a good work will finish that good work. And we all know the prayers of Jesus that he said, of those the Father has given me, I will lose no one. So we need to understand these things and we need to study from that point of view. Because if you start second-guessing the Word of God, then all of a sudden you start to become confused. When it comes to salvation, this is one place where you need to be sure of, because the devil goes about with like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible teaches us there is a place of rest, and it admonishes us to enter into that rest before we fall into unbelief. Scripture is very, very serious about finding the place of rest in our assurance of salvation. So today I will teach on an interesting subject that will definitely show each and every believer that once you're born again, once you know in your heart that you belong to God, you can rest assured and be at peace and be at ease. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of people who are hard of hearing, Lord. Let them see and understand, especially in this day and age of coronavirus, where people are very much afraid of dying. Open people's hearts so that they can relax and rejoice in you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the themes of the Bible that all Christians can agree on is this. When Jesus prayed for something, he always was answered. That we can be sure of. Jesus, when he prayed, the Father always answered his prayer. And why was that? It was because he was praying in the will of the Father. So let's look at how Jesus prayed through the scripture. But there is also a part that we need to understand and do to have assurance of salvation. But let's look at how Jesus prayed for Simon Peter. Simon Peter and Judas Iscariot were in the same problems. They had the same problem. Judas Iscariot sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Simon Peter denied that he knew the Lord 3 times. But there is one big difference between the two. Simon Peter did not go hang himself or kill himself. Judas Iscariot went and hung himself because he had no faith in God whatsoever. But what kept Peter from doing the same thing? What kept Peter from leaving God completely? Listen to what Luke chapter 22 in verse 31 tells us. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But here is the catch. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So here we have the incredible prayer of Jesus for Simon Peter. Jesus understood that Simon Peter would deny him. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew that Simon needed all the help he can get. He prayed for him, and that was all the help he needed, because when Jesus prayed for somebody or something, that prayer was answered. So here we see Jesus praying for Simon Peter, and we all know what happened. Judas Iscariot went and hung himself, and Simon Peter was reunited with the Lord Jesus Christ in a big way. This is what happens when Jesus prays for you. So the question I have, does Jesus pray for you? Are the Christians being prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ? This message today will explain that. But before I explain to you how Jesus prayed for us through the New Testament, I want to explain what we as Christians need to do, because our assurance of salvation depends on how we stand with God. How are we prepared in our hearts? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, it tells us, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So he tells us here to put on the armor of God, because Satan will come at you with all he's got. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The first thing you have to do is you have to have the truth. And what is truth? Jesus is truth. The gospel is truth. We're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of the cross. That's truth. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing in your heart that Jesus made you righteous." You're pure, you're holy, you're righteous in the sight of God if the blood of Jesus covers you. That's the breastplate, that's the protection. "Your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We should always be able to tell people about the way of salvation. "Above all, take the shield of faith." We got to have faith that we stand right with God. "Wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." If you have faith that you're saved by grace, if your faith is strong, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it says, "Take the helmet of salvation, knowing in your heart," in mind, the helmet covers the head, "knowing in your mind that you're saved." That's the helmet of salvation. Once you know in your mind, and once you know in your heart that you're saved, then no dart of the enemy can ever penetrate you, because you have that strong helmet on. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and do not deviate from the Word of God, because the Word of God is never going to change regardless how society changes. I have talked to people about putting on the whole armor of God, and many seem to have this idea. And the morning you get on up, you put on the helmet of salvation, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You do all these things. No, protection should be put on and never taken off, whether you sleep or whether you're awake, because many attacks come during the night from Satan, and many people understand that. They experience these things. So the armor of God has to come on. You have to have these on. Otherwise, you're going to fail. You're going to fall into deception, into doubt, and into fear. Like we see many with this coronavirus. Many, many who call themselves Christians are very, very fearful. They do not have the armor of God. And we need to make sure that the armor of God is on us before we even dare to start in the ministry of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now the prayer parts begins. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Here is where many Christians are failing. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does praying in the Spirit mean? Praying in the Spirit means to pray in tongues. You go study it in the Word of God, and it clearly teaches us that praying in the Spirit means to pray in tongues. But for those of you who don't pray in tongues, you can be assured that God listens to your prayer. You don't necessarily have to pray in tongues, but I would advise you to learn how, or to seek the Lord on how to do that. But prayer, regardless what form it comes from, as long as it's from the heart, God will listen. There is no difference when it comes to the believer being loved by God. We're all loved immensely. But the great difference comes when you are under the attack from Satan. You have to have on that armor. And if you know how to pray in tongues, that's a great plus. That means you have a machine gun instead of a sword. A sword, you have to do a lot of the work with yourself. But with a machine gun, all you have to do is press a button, and you have lots of destroying power. So it is when you pray in tongues. It's the Spirit that prays for you. It's the Spirit that does the hard work. You pray, and God will make sure that things get done. This is how I understand prayer. If you have the power of praying in tongues, you have an incredible weapon in your hand. But if you only pray as you understand it, then it's like fighting war with a sword. You have to do all the work yourself. So let the Lord open your heart to these things, for He doesn't want us to be ignorant, because Satan is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if He can stop you from believing in the power of praying in tongues, He will. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ tells His disciples in John chapter 17 in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that Thou hast given me. For they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. So there we see the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Well, you may say He is only praying for the disciples. A lot of people come up with that excuse. But no, if you study it, you will find out that His prayer continues in John chapter 17 in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Remember, He's not praying for the world. This is our job. The Lord Jesus Christ prays for those who belong to him. We need to pray for the world. This is how it's set up. So we need to open our heart to these things. Jesus, when he prays for something, all the time his prayers get answered. So he's always praying for you, for your safety. And as far as your salvation is concerned, on the next segment of this program, I will explain to you what Jesus is doing right now for the saints. And what is he doing? He's praying for our safety and our safekeeping. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Distressed and downhearted because of my sin, longing for heaven but unworthy to go in. But one who was worthy shed his blood on Calvary. Satan shouted guilty, but Jesus cried redeemed. Unworthy, but made worthy through the blood of the Lamb. Forbidden from heaven, but forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Now life has steps are lighter since he lifted the shame. No longer sin covered, but buried in his name.
On this part of the program, I want to explain to you how secure we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord Jesus is interceding for us. In Romans chapter 18, verse 33, it tells us, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Isn't that awesome? Jesus is now, at this very moment, making intercessions for us, praying for us, that our faith fail not, just like he prayed for Simon Peter. The Lord God knows how frail we are. We don't brag about how strong we are when we say that we're once saved, always saved. The only thing we have is this, Jesus is keeping us. We're sealed onto the day of redemption, and he is at the right hand of the Father, praying that my faith will not fail and that I will be kept. This is what my boast is in my assurance of my salvation. I'm not depending on myself. I know in my heart that I am kept by God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then the question comes up, will I in the future ever leave God? We have to remember, there is no future. We are only in the now. As far as sinning is concerned, there are no future sins yet. We're only sinning today. Will I walk away from God in the future? Well, the future isn't there, so why worry about it? We are in the now. But I'll give you an example on what Scripture teaches us. In Romans chapter 18, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, now listen to this, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So for those of you who are worried about leaving God in the future, it tells us that we are protected from things to come. So don't worry about it. We're living in the now. Rejoice in what Jesus did for you at the cross, because in his prayers, in his supplication at the right hand of the Father, he is interceding for us right now. And for those of you who are not born again, we are fast running out of time. Jesus is about to come back for his bride. And for those of you who don't know him, they will be left behind. And if you think this coronavirus was horrible, this is a child's picnic compared to what the tribulation will be. At least with the coronavirus, it opened our minds and our hearts how easily the government can force you into doing things that you're against. But during the Great Tribulation, it'll be far worse, because the demonic realm will be unleashed on this planet. The devil himself will have his domain here, for he will be kicked out of heaven unto earth. We know for a fact that the 7 years tribulation, there's going to be so many dying in such a short time, it's going to be terrible. The Bible teaches that at least 1/3 of the world's population will die in the first 3.5 years. So we need to open up our hearts to these terrible things and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are fast running out of time, and the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to come unto him, for he is willing that none perish. Open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2.